Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, here we go again, already closing up another show. Pleasure to invite Cliff Michaels from Los Angeles on the show. Good morning, Cliff. How are you today?
Good morning, sir. Very well. Happy St. Patrick.
I was going to say, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Terrific. Well, let me introduce Cliff. He's an energetic, you're going to find out, folks, so hang on, street smart professional dedicated to education, specifically personal growth and entrepreneurial thinking. Cliff bills himself as a part-time philosopher and full-time truth seeker who learned through life-changing moments early in his life how to step up and maximize learning. He's navigated the boom and bust cycles of real estate, learning that game from mentors and picking up the basic skills of life in the process. He's also jumped right in with close friends and family to the internet startup frenzy to build a company that then collided, unfortunately, into the dot-com bubble burst. Cliff's new book is The Four Essentials of Entrepreneurial Thinking, What Successful People Didn't Learn in School, an articulation of his own life learning to date, spiced up with research on the cross-section of successful people and great philosophers, like someone who said, never assume a victory before you cross the finish line, which was Bugs Bunny, by the way. So with that, I love that one. And indeed, I remember that cartoon with him and the tortoise and the hare dynamic. You always saw it coming, didn't you?
I think you're the first person to bring that part of the book up. I love it.
Well, that's because I'm still a kid at heart, okay?
Me too.
Between Bugs Bunny, yep, one of the great philosophers, and then Wile E. Coyote, of course, and Roadrunner for those of us here in Arizona. Well, Cliff, your book came out in smash right away, launched right on number one on Amazon, and then Barnes & Noble hit number three here, New York Times bestseller. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was an honor and a humbling experience.
And I bet you it's got you wondering, what did I just give birth to here?
A little bit.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, you're very clear in this piece, and it's for those interested, you can go to cliffmichaels.com or the four, and then it's the number four, essentials.com, that this wasn't something you sat down and pounded out in just a few months. This is something you've been living in, splashing around in, playing with, struggling with for almost 20 years, isn't it?
Correct. The genesis of the theory on the four essentials, which are basic life skills, action strategies, core values, and purpose principles, was something that I kind of started in college based on a survey I did, and I'll tell you a little bit about that story in a moment. But the book itself is an amalgam of essays and articles I wrote to share with clients and friends over many years. I have a real estate company on success principles, and I wrote about everybody from Da Vinci and Edison and Einstein to Buffett and Branson and Oprah and Spielberg
and Bugs Bunny.
And Jackie Robinson, and all of my, what I refer to as my virtual mentors, many people I had never met. And in the end, what I realized was we all have gaps and nobody masters everything, but there was a common thread to happy and successful people and happy and high performance teams or companies. And they were not vocation skills, but basic life abilities. So the fun alliteration in the book is that wouldn't we all master from in a real world MBA your master's in basic abilities?
Yeah, master's in basic abilities, such as one that I have learned at a very young age, fortunately, like you did, and that was never leave your desk without writing 5 thank you notes a day.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please. But, just that common courtesy that people forget to say that thank you, and how that, and as you come in your book, coupling it with Cliff's Hershey's Kisses as a reminder, or cookies, I always said, bring food, they shall come, that those kind of things are standout in truth, but they're also very subtle ways of endearing yourself.
Yeah, it's more important than ever because email is very easy to do. It's become a commodity that we take for granted. But when we think about what really made a difference when we ended our day, we picked up a thank you card from someone, or someone took that extra time to make an extra effort that was a personal touch. So when I started my business, I actually learned with Streetwise real estate mentors the power of thank you notes, and I was studying their daily focus routines and networking creative negotiations. And the one thing that I took away when I was 18, which was the summer before my freshman year in college, with how valuable those thank you notes were, and it ultimately got me investors and a seller who was interested in selling her property at a huge discount, and got me my first property and got me started in real estate. And in the end, I took that concept and added gift baskets and little chocolate Hershey's Kisses I used to leave on people's desks and doorsteps when I ran around looking at open houses. And that's what almost built my Rolodex more than anything else.
You bet. And on the the same point, though, the fact you'd have the delivery guy, as you said, you paid him $5 to make sure he didn't take the basket directly to the person's office, but paraded around the whole office first so everyone knew it was coming from Cliff Michaels. Brilliant.
Yeah, and
just
often
brilliant.
I was the delivery guy.
Exactly.
And I really, when I started out, I didn't have a big budget, but I negotiated as clever as I could. I never advertised, and actually really never advertised my whole career. I made the personal touch the important thing. And when I didn't have time to go out and visit clients, I made sure that somebody else would go to the offices, and not just to the client, but whoever else was in their office, their coworkers, their peers, if it was an accountant's office, to colleagues. And all of a sudden, I would get phone calls from other people besides my direct clients.
Mm-hmm. Well, take us back to that story you wanted to say. I know you were a freshman at USC. You, on your own, felt prompted to go do a survey. Tell us about that and how it was or wasn't received when you came back with a challenge.
Sure. So what happened was my freshman year in college, I had spent that entire year looking at properties, and I had lined up investors who said, "Hey, Cliff, this is what we do every day. If you can go for forest and go hunt properties, if you find something that's 25% below market, we'll even back you in your own deal." And I ultimately bought my first property with no money down, put some college classmates into one of the rooms. I lived, you know, mortgage free, and that's how I started out in real estate. And when I got back to school, I was listening to a debate in the cafeteria with professors and students talking about the rising cost of tuition and the prerequisite courses for business and humanities and liberal arts and the different classes. And what I realized was that there were prerequisites that really didn't fit everyone. For example, I'm attention deficit and a little bit dyslexic and more right brain. But a lot of the left brain classes that I had to take for business school were statistics and economics and accounting. And
finance.
For me, that was like telling a science major he had to take prerequisite baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a light bulb for me, and I asked as an extra credit assignment if I could survey CEOs and professors and high-performance students and athletes what they considered to be the most critical essentials in competitive environments. And were they the same things that we were being taught in school? And what came back on that survey were things like team building and creative thinking and decision making and problem solving and focus and time management. And for employers who were looking at characteristics and personality traits, work ethic and passion, and values like integrity, humility, and gratitude. And I had the audacity to ask, okay, show me where these programs are in the undergraduate program or even in the business schools. And that's when that was my aha moment, that there were gaps in both the education system and gaps for us as individuals or teachers and educators. And when I took that survey over to the professor that I did this extra credit report for, the answer that came back was, "It's a great theory, Cliff, but some things you cannot teach in a classroom and some things you have to learn from experience." And where I differed was, in my 19-year-old arrogance, perhaps, I didn't say it diplomatically, was the idea that we always learn from experience is fundamentally flawed, because we can do the same thing for 10 or 20 years and be just as bad on year 21.
You got it.
As day one, if it doesn't have results-oriented practice, if it's not disciplined, if it doesn't have the humility to know what we don't know or aren't good at, or that we're going in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. And also that feedback loop from others that coaches
Correct.
You to the next place.
Correct. So the idea that practice makes perfect or that experience teaches, the theory ended with experience doesn't always teach us what to do. It teaches us what not to do. And that's not actually setting up a system. for deliberate learning, or how to learn from mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. Well, Cliff, you know, you've got your book out now, and even after I commented to you in preparation with the show, you already said you're into writing the second edition already. That's quite a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not actually a big tweak or change, but what I realized in the feedback that I got from around the world, we were getting letters from students and educators mm-hmm. from Malaysia and Mexico and Canada and top entrepreneur schools like USC and Babson, where I love the fact that there are so many wonderful entrepreneurial spirits going on in the education system right now, but it's still highly fragmented. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to do was just tweak a few of the messages in the book to realize that we are so close to having a paradigm shift in how we teach and share principles on a peer-to-peer level, not just top-down from the professor getting a curriculum to the student. And that's exciting, because when we look at the jobs and the economy and how things are shifting with Gen Y going job to job and project to project, being more dynamic in learning and in execution of the best principles is more important than ever.
Well, before we run out of time, I want you to just briefly touch on, of course, what are the four essentials of entrepreneurial thinking? And I'll even have you remind our listeners, and Cliff even says this right at the onset, that in some ways we are all entrepreneurs. So with that, what are those four essentials?
Sure. So the first of all, I'll just comment on the first note that you made about everyone is an entrepreneur. These principles apply as much to the barista in the coffee shop or the snowboard instructor to the high-tech CEO. So it's a myth that only entrepreneurs start businesses. You and I both know many people that own or run a business who are not entrepreneurial thinking. So here are the traits. Essential one is basic life skills. And if that's the entrepreneurial mindset of defining success and happiness for yourself and your clients and your peers and your coworkers by some standard that's important to you, and then you can put a lot of other wheels in motion, like building a passion for learning and leveraging tools and mentors and cultivating creativity. And most importantly, embracing failure and challenge and change, because you and I both know there will be chaos. So most companies in the world, or most entrepreneurs in the world that I know, are not working on plan A, they're on plan Q.
And in fact, they love the chaos. And if it wasn't for the chaos, they'd flip out. I mean, the idea is that I was telling someone here recently, we were leading a big change agenda. What you do is you actually light the bomb and the fuse goes pss, boom. And as long as the smoke's in the room, you slide four other things in there that nobody else realized, so that when the dust settles, it's like, wow, look at all the things we did. We didn't realize we were good enough to do that. And you're done, right? You move on.
You're spot on. So essential one is very much that, with an ambition and a recognition of greed. Now, we move on to essential two. What good would those basic life skills or abilities be without action strategies? Because we all know a lot of talented people with all the socioeconomic advantages and maybe the advanced degree, but the action strategies don't match their abilities. So the action strategies have to have a self-discovery component, analyzing strengths and weaknesses not only in ourselves but others, focus on time management, communication and people skills that has a degree of emotional intelligence, being aware of our own words and deeds, social intelligence, having empathy and listening well to our colleagues, our clients, to build better teams and relationships. And the same thing applies to team building and leadership thinking. What inspires others? So those action strategies are key to goal and project planning, so that we have not just cliche of performance measurements and timelines, but accountability and alignment. And here come essentials three and four. Essential three would be core values. And the best companies in the world and the most successful people have those underlying principles to how they take action.
You bet, and they never waver from them. They all come back and test what they do every day, day in and day out.
Exactly. And those would be standards like integrity, you know, truth, humility, knowing what you don't know, aren't good at, don't have time for, or don't like to do. The humility principle is a linchpin throughout all of the other essentials. Because if we have that humility, we can focus. And the fun alliteration I have in the book is focus on what we do best, delegate, collaborate, and eliminate the rest. So humility is key. Gratitude with things like thank you notes, serious follow-up and consistency in our communication, that it's clear and consistent and constructive, having a sense of humor, a fun environment. So those values are very important. And then what good with the values? We know people that have great skills and strategies, and they even have their values in the right place. But essential number four is what I didn't have as a young entrepreneur when I was back in college, germinating this theory. And that was the purpose principle.
Yeah, exactly.
Why we do it.
Why we do it.
Is
yeah.
it whether it's our passion or health or our friends and family enjoying the journey? And for me, most important these days is giving back and having a sense of contribution.
Yeah, very well said. Well, I love the way that Cliff has structured this book, of course, is you actually give out a certificate after the first portion of the book when you get to read about Cliff's own personal background and sets up his credibility to be able to even talk about these kind of things at his young age. And then it takes us through each one of the essentials to get through to drive home these points of the four principles. And every chapter also closes with some final thoughts. And so, again, another great philosopher right next to Bugs is this one quotation says, "If the person you're talking to doesn't appear to be listening, be patient. It may simply be that he has a small piece of fluff in his ear." And that's Winnie the Pooh, of course.
Right. So I like to blend, you know, to me, I wanted to have fun with it. I like to blend quotes from Winnie the Pooh or theories from Bugs Bunny and right alongside of a Da Vinci and an Edison.
Absolutely.
Or an Oprah Winfrey who kind of raised the bar for emotional and social intelligence and maybe got the guys thinking that, hey, that's just as important. Because oftentimes we let our egos get in the way and we're not willing to let our guards down, but it's actually one of the most successful principles in the world to have the humility to get your teammates to analyze your strengths and weaknesses. And I'll give you one of the best examples. I have parents from Brooklyn. I got the gift of Gab, which is a wonderful pet to have.
No, really? Okay.
But yeah. when we look at what really is important with our teams and our clients, yeah, listening is very, very key. And so people that speak a lot or that are high energy entrepreneurs may forget to listen well. And we often forget that the shy ones that, mm-hmm, that aren't maybe as loquacious or as verbal oftentimes are the best listeners. They read people and situations really well, and we should never discount having them on our team or even making them managers and leaders.
Absolutely, because those would be the ones to say, now, wait a minute, why is it we do that? And suddenly
Absolutely.
Everything comes to a screeching halt, and everybody says, you're right, we need a new beginning here.
Absolutely.
You know, the other thing, Cliff, of course, throughout your book, you also drove home the points of humility. You also drive home the point of personal wellness, personal, understanding of when you might be at the wall or hit things. In fact, I love the one quote you also referenced in your favorite quickie section. You said, the trouble with the rat race is that even if you win, you're still a rat. And that's Lily Tomlin. So I know here you've done this book and you've done it in other times in your career where you've just said, you know, I need a clean break, and you went to Asia, for example, for a year. And just to really sort things out in your own mind, sometimes making those decisions is pretty bold to step off the race, though.
Yeah, I had aha moments in my career many times. In my 20s, I built a very successful real estate mortgage business. I was an investor. By the time I was 27 or 28, I had semi-retired, and I took a year off and kind of went on sabbatical, and there was that aha moment for me that I was burning out. And so that was one that the health issue was very important. And then I was fortunate to walk smack into the internet frenzy, and my brother-in-law and I co-founded the first online registry to feature digital notary technology. And that was a wild time. We raised millions of dollars in venture capital. We were out at the White House pitching Bill Clinton and Al Gore's head of technology. We were going to international conferences. We were featured in magazines, and we weren't famous as like cover stories like you hear today in the social media world, but in our space, it was a wild ride.
You bet.
And we ran right into the dot-com bubble burst of 2000, right as Ernst & Young and some very large technology companies were, in theory, ready to back up the truck with the next round of capital. And several months after that, we went through a family crisis, and my 16-year-old niece, Jenny, was killed in a car accident. And when she was 13, she wrote a poem titled Life. And that fundamentally shifted my mindset again, because that poem started with the phrase, stop, take a breath, set aside your life.
Yeah.
And so I did. And it was a watershed moment for me, because even though we had this wonderful technology idea and potentially, you know, building a billion-dollar company to change the way we think about intellectual property protection, it was very exciting. I wasn't doing something that I loved. I hated technology. And I loved the creativity that came with writing and real estate and mentoring entrepreneurs and giving back to students and teachers. So I took that sabbatical. I outlined all of these essays I had written over many years, and the results after 3 years of writing and a year of editing was The Four Essentials of Entrepreneurial Thinking, the book that you're holding now.
Isn't that lovely? And, of course, so you're off on the speaking tour right now, or you will be in a more consistent basis. You've also looked to really make this also some e-learning programs, aren't you?
Correct. So themes dovetail from the book into e-learning programs where we blend personal growth and entrepreneurship, because the same theory was it would be great if you had these personal growth and success strategies, but if you didn't have some entrepreneurial thinking behind it, there would be a gap. And the same goes true for building business plans and telling somebody to raise venture capital and have an exit strategy, which is wonderful, but if you aren't building relationships or you're not building some of your personal growth strategies or even knowing how to run an effective team or board or forum, things will fall through the cracks. We know that the failure rate for new businesses is very high. So the courses run the gamut of self-discovery and communication and conflict resolution and how that connects to negotiation. How can I be a great negotiator in business without having an ear for reading people and situations and making sure that that same success structure are within the people that I outsource to or my teams and boards and forums and so forth?
You know, I also love the fact, and by the way, our listeners, again, we've been speaking with Cliff Michaels. You can go to cliffmichaels.com or www.4essentials.com. It's the fact that you really are also on a giving back or a paying forward mission, I'll call it, because with each sale, free books and training programs are really going to students in need. I really applaud your choosing to do that.
Thank you. The book itself was a labor of love, and you mentioned speaking and tour, and it's wonderful to get all of those opportunities, but I didn't covet actually being an ongoing speaker. Mm-hmm. I love doing strategic planning with individuals or groups or doing the executive coach mission, but for me, having a structure to give back to students and entrepreneurs in the world, particularly those that would never have the opportunities to get to the elite school, whether it's a great high school or a great college program. So I wanted this to be very fun, fast, and affordable. These programs are typically going to be 30 to 60 minutes long. So this isn't something that's going to cost somebody thousands of dollars or a 6-week or 12-week program, which are wonderful because you need that immersion and that ongoing practice. But I wanted these to be much more success systems on demand that people could go 24/7 and go through their self-discovery program or go through goal and project planning or as one of my favorite programs that I taught for many years to clients and colleagues were negotiations or how to build brands. So we'll be bringing these programs online over the course of the next few months. The first 4 or 5 are already online, and they come with free success tools that you can work with your own teams and forums or boards.
Very good. Well, again, Cliff Michaels, thanks for joining us here on Circles of Change. Again, Cliff, he's a broker, speaker, a strategist. You go to cliffmichaels.com. Also, his new book, The Four Essentials of Entrepreneurial Thinking, What Successful People Didn't Learn in School. Thanks so much. You have a great balance of the weekend, Cliff.
Zara, it was a pleasure being on the show. Thanks
all right,
for having
keep
me.
Keep track of your trekking. Here we go. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.